Too many people today make decisions based on the way they feel instead of what the Word of God says. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Thanks for joining me again. This is Dr. Fred. We are continuing in our series that I've called Rome Revised, or it's actually Rome Rising. Sorry about that. And it's based on a book I've written, which is available at Amazon.com. And it's yours for the purchasing. Some of the stuff that we're going over today and in this series is additional, or if you buy the book, there's more information in the book than we're presenting here on and in this series. Now, the last time we talked about multiculturalism and how the multiculturalism in America has drastically affected the way we look at race, the way we even look at people. If something doesn't feel right for many, then it's wrong. If something feels right, then it's right. And those decisions are based on how they feel, not on any kind of absolute truth. To people who are, I guess, caught in the grip of political correctness, as I mentioned last time, the two books I've written called Falling Away and Caught in the Grip of Political Correctness, for the people who are involved in making decisions based on political correctness, how they feel, it's all how it feels based on emotional virtue, as I mentioned, not absolute truth. And this is filtered down through society so that there are many, many things that we see that we would judge as being incorrect, but people judge them as being correct solely because they feel that they are correct. For instance, something that's in the news now is the Mike Brown situation in Ferguson, and the fact that information came out which basically said from the grand jury that, you know, there is no evidence to indict him or to recommend indicting him. There's no probable cause for that. As a matter of fact, the facts tell us that most likely Mike Brown did not have his hands raised, was not standing in a stopped position with his hands raised when he was shot. In point of fact, Mike Brown was actually rushing toward the police officer, Darren Wilson, who was left with no choice but to shoot him. Now, even though these facts came out, people don't want to accept them. They want to continue to go by the false narrative that whites and white police officers especially are killing blacks indiscriminately, hunting them and killing them. There is absolutely no evidence for this. More blacks are killed by blacks, and there is no evidence that police are specifically trying to find, hunt, and kill black young men. But that doesn't really matter, because the truth that people want to believe is based on how they feel about a situation. So this feeling allows them then to go out to create all sorts of havoc and mayhem by rioting, looting, and doing all kinds of illegal things involving themselves in criminal behavior solely because of the way they feel. They feel that they need to have some kind of payback. Well, this is a problem in society that's growing by leaps and bounds. And not long ago, we noticed with NFL player Tim Tebow how he was treated on and off the field for the way he knelt. He was a Christian, still is, wasn't afraid to let people know it. He was ridiculed by other players and by sports writers. There was absolutely no respect, no acceptance of Tebow as a Christian. Had Tim Tebow been a Muslim, I believe that the respect would have been automatic. People would have given him a wide berth. They would have shown tremendous respect for him. But because he's Christian, something that the left wants to deride and move this country away from, then it was for those reasons that he was ridiculed. But when a Dolphins NFL player is critical of another NFL player who happens to be gay, well, that Dolphins player is fined and sent to educational training because of something he tweeted. And it's as if, you know, one person who said this, no doubt the NFL leaned on the Dolphins to hit Jones, the player, hard in the interest of sending a zero tolerance message to the broader league. But like I said up top, I'm sure they didn't have to lean heavily, unquote. And at the same time, people were grumbling on Twitter that even the slightest criticism of Sam Jones, the player, for being gay is now being verboten, whereas it was okay to mock Tim Tebow for his faith, even on the field during the game. So we see this, and this is the direct result of multiculturalism, known as political correctness, known as cultural Marxism, which is based on emotional virtue. People arrive at decisions based solely on how they feel. So, we know that many gay activists are well-positioned, well-funded. Christians, on the other hand, can't equal that. And because of the financial power that's behind the gay movement, again, the reason that that power exists is because the gay movement stands juxtaposed to traditional values. So they're pumping that group up, those agencies and activists up, because that stands in stark contrast to what this country and society is based on. So we see that. And in the end, it's really part of the leftist agenda for America to redefine and remake the culture, anything to move it away from those biblical values that everyone on the left hates so much. That's really the reason it exists. But Christians are to make decisions based not on emotional virtue. We're not supposed to decide on something based on how we feel about it, based on how society feels about it, based on how our significant other feels about it. We are to make our decisions based on absolute truth, and we agree that that absolute truth is found in God's word. Anything less is simply not true. And we see terrible situations throughout the globe, and they're on the rise in America because of political correctness. You know, I believe that ultimately what Paul is describing in 2 Timothy 3 has to do with a foundation of political correctness that allows and even forces people to make decisions based on emotional virtue. With this as the foundation, people can, and they do, find all manner of excuses to do what they want, fully believing that those excuses make it right for them to be selfish, to be disobedient, to be brutal, to be lovers of money, and all the rest that Paul describes in 2 Timothy 3. Now, political correctness is something the devil created because it stands in total opposition of God's word. It's very much alive during the time of Jesus as it is today. And we see this when Pilate asked Jesus sarcastically, "What is truth?" John 18:38. It was a rhetorical question. We notice in the text that Jesus didn't give a response. He understood that Pilate was not looking for a response because he didn't believe that truth was absolute. Pilate, like many in his day, believed that truth is relative. And people believe that today. And this relativity is what motivates much of society. And as people become more and more self-centered, the toll it will take on society will be, in the final analysis, horrendous. That's what we're going to wind up getting. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first seven or so verses. That's what society is becoming. And we need to avoid that by not becoming part of it. Now, there's something that this political correctness is ultimately going to create. It is going to create and is creating a militancy and a hatred of traditional biblical values. We're seeing it. Now, one of the things that has been part and parcel, let's talk about the European Union for a few minutes. One of the things that's been part and parcel of the European Union, or the EU, is their gathering together of nations in Europe under the flag of the EU. Now, when that occurs, not only does the EU become larger because of the landmass of the countries that are absorbed into the EU. Remember, the EU started off with about 5 or 10 countries. And now we've got roughly 30 or more. And so the EU is growing. But the national sovereignty of each newly absorbed country is essentially eradicated. And that's important to consider. I mean, there is still talk here in the United States of the North American Union. It used to be called NAFTA, North American Free Trade Association, or agreement. But now it's just become the North American Union. And the idea is to combine Canada, the United States, and Mexico into one union. This is what I believe the globalists are trying to do, because once you compile countries into separate groups or unions, it's easier to then group them all together into larger unions until eventually there is a globalized economy, a globalized government, and a globalized religion. But you don't do that all at once. You do that by taking different countries and bringing them into this union of countries, or that union of countries, or that one over there. And then, when the time is right, then you can group more of those countries that have already been grouped into smaller unions and groups. You can group them into larger ones. But when you become part of the EU, that country's national sovereignty is no longer alive. It's no longer there. It has been literally eradicated, subordinated to the other countries in that same union. The flag of the EU consists of 12 golden stars in a circle on a blue background. The stars symbolize the ideals of unity, solidarity, and harmony among the peoples of Europe. The number of stars has nothing to do with the number of member countries, though the circle is a symbol of unity. So, for instance, Spain, as part of the EU, is still called Spain. Italy is still called Italy. However, under the terms of the European Union, the flag of each of those individual countries flies underneath the flag of the EU. The flag of the EU flies above the country flag. This is similar to the way individual states within the United States fly flags below the American flag. Each state is, in essence, subservient, although it's not supposed to be that way, to the federal government or to the whole of the United States. And this practice has come to mean that the individual states in America are subservient to the federal government. This isn't true, though. The federal government was created to actually serve the states, not dictate to them. But that's probably for another book and another series. But in the case of the EU, the European Union, a country that becomes part of that empire loses its sovereignty and must literally bow to the EU government. Though it only began, as I mentioned, with a few nations in 1951, it has grown to almost 30 or more in 2014 and continues to grow. Ukraine is the latest to try to work out a deal in order to come on board with the EU, and because of it, Russia has gotten into the picture with roughly 100,000 troops ready to go to war over the whole issue. John Kerry, representing the U.S. and that of the globalists in general, wants Putin to back off. Putin, so far, appears unmovable. That situation, as I speak right now, is still not solved. It's still up in the air and in disarray. More has developed over the situation. In fact, it would appear as though President Obama himself is talking up the EU as being good, not only for European countries, but also for the United States. You know, when we hear this kind of talk, we need to understand who is really doing the talking. It's not President Obama. He's merely the mouthpiece, as is John Kerry. These are the feet on the ground, the puppets, I guess you might want to call them. And we've also heard the same type of thing from previous presidents. The real voices are in the shadows, where they feel safe and secure. These are the globalists who are doing whatever they can to instill within the people of the world the idea that the world needs a one world, one company, globalized system that will supposedly benefit everyone. And of course, the everyone being referred to is the group of globalists themselves. Well, that's what we're moving to, and we'll have more on this later. I'm Dr. Fred, and I do want to thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it, and I hope you've been enjoying the series on Rome Rising. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.